Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we shall begin there. And we'll just see if we go to some other scriptures. Probably will, but we'll see. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Verse number 1. We're going to read verse 1. Have you got it?
Yes.
All right. Verse 1. I therefore, this is Paul, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen.
Yeah.
So he said we're to walk worthy of the vocation which we're called with. Or, you know, some translations say the calling. Now, what's our calling? Well, our calling, we're called as children of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're called as sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen.
That's a high calling. And he said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of that calling. Now, the word worthy literally means give it sufficient weight. Give it sufficient weight. Treat it like it is important. Hallelujah. I just felt led tonight to talk about the subject of excellence. In connection with the fact that we're called, we're called to excellence as children of God. The highest calling, listen, some people talk about, I heard this years ago, that someone asked Billy Graham one time, said, why don't you consider or why don't you run for president? He said, because I don't want to take a step down. He considered his calling as a minister to be higher than that of the President of the United States. Now, I guarantee you the world doesn't value it that way, but God does. God does. And your calling as a child of God is the highest calling that you could have. Hallelujah. And Paul said, we're to walk worthy. There's no calling on the face of the earth that requires any more excellence than that of a child of God. I mean, God wants us to walk in excellence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that's what I want to talk about giving this calling sufficient weight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christians, as Christians, we should never be sloppy spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
We should realize that if, you know, actually, we should be thankful that God led us into the kingdom.
Yeah.
We should just be thankful to be here.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
not like, oh, you know, we don't have church tonight, do we? Oh, no, not church tonight. Well, yeah, you should be thankful that you're a part of it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we should treat our calling with excellence. That God has called us to something higher than anybody else. Now maybe people don't value it that way, but God does. God sees it that way. The fact that He called you and He saved you and me, and He put His Spirit inside of us, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit on this earth. Hallelujah. You know, so we have to realize that it requires excellence out of us. What does that mean? That means we walk worthy of it. We represent the Lord well with our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we need to represent the Lord well. Hallelujah. And we should be people of integrity. Amen. Now, you know, let me just say it this way. A lot of believers are. But yet, every one of us should be. You know, I like to do business with Christians. But I don't do business with you just because you are a Christian. I got to know that you're a You're walking in excellence. You're walking worthy of your calling. Amen. That you're representing the Lord right, because not all Christians do, and not all Christian business people do, and not all Christian businesses do. They should. Amen. Now, you know, I've just watched this over the years that, you know, people respond to excellence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you go to a restaurant and you get excellent service, you respond to that. You respond to that. You know, I was going to, and I don't go here often. This is where Phyllis goes if she's in, if we're in town Monday through Friday. This is where she goes for lunch. It's called Chick-fil-A. Amen. Because she likes Chick-fil-A. Praise God. And in Chick-fil-A, I like Chick-fil-A. You know, I don't go there. I don't go there that often. But, you know, I like it. I like it really well. I think they have some of the best chicken in town, you know. And so it's not a matter of not liking it. It's just a matter of logistics and so forth. And I don't know if you've ever been there at noon. You may have been there at noon. I mean, I stopped in there, and it was close to noon. I don't remember what time it was, but it was close to noon. And there were three lines in the drive-thru going around the building. And I got in the line. And after I got in the line, I thought, I shouldn't have done this. I got stuff to do today. But did you know, within 15 minutes or less, I had my food and was gone. And I mean, they were three lines wrapped around, because they just operate with such excellence. And I got to think, you know, if I'd have been another fast food place, I think I went there on a Friday, I probably would have still been there Monday. I probably had to sleep in my car a couple nights with a line that long. How many know fast food places that way? Yeah, you've been there a long time. That was a little bit of humor there, a little bit of evangelistically speaking, but you get the point, right? I'd have been there a long time, because they don't have access. How many know, if Chick-fil-A can do it, anybody can do it, right? It's just a matter of determining to be excellent. That's all it is. It's a matter of determining we're going to do this with excellence. And so, you know, they do it with excellence. I mean, you put your order in, and I mean, they're just going everywhere. And I looked, and they're not just servicing the drive-through line. They got people parked over in the parking lots that have used their app or whatever to order, and they're just waiting there for pickup. So they're servicing a parking lot over there. They're servicing a drive-through, and they're just moving us. You just keep moving. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's just excellence. That's all that is. That's just excellence. Well, how many know, as children of God, we have a higher calling than Chick-fil-A? Amen. And, you know, sometimes I'll go to a restaurant and I'll get excellent service. Over-the-top service. There's times I go to a restaurant and maybe not so much. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on who's waiting on you. But you know what? Listen, God rewards excellence. Yes. Amen. God rewards excellence. Yes. You know, I heard a minister tell a story. Him and another minister went to a restaurant one time, and they went there, and they weren't very busy at all, and this man came to wait on him, and he act like he really didn't care that much about what he was doing. And they asked him, said, "Do you have a newspaper here? We want to check newspaper." And he's just like, "No, we don't have newspapers, you know." And so one of the other waitresses came over and said, "Well, I heard you asked for a newspaper." They said, "Yes, we just wanted to look at something, check something out." She said, "Well, we don't have a newspaper here." She said, "But I'll go down the street and get you one." They said, "Oh, no, you don't need to do that." She says, "Oh, no, we're not busy. I can go do that." They said, "We want you to wait on our table." And when they got ready to leave to give the tip, both of them started flipping out $100 bills, one after another, and gave this lady. Excellence gets rewarded. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, talking about going the extra mile. You know, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, you go two. What is it? Go above and beyond. But we shouldn't just be satisfied with mediocre. You know what? Mediocre is a Latin word, and you know what it means? Mediocre means halfway up the mountain. Halfway up. That's the way some people live their life, just going halfway up. you know, that's good enough. God doesn't want just good enough. He wants excellence. He wants over the top. Can you say amen? And the good thing about it, He's given us the ability to do it. He's put a spirit of excellence inside of us. You know, God could have, when we got born again, God could have put, maybe could have put an angel inside of us. But He didn't do that. He put the Holy Spirit inside of us. You know, there's trillions of angels. He could have said, you know, angel, you know, 1,957,000, you come and live in Pastor Jerry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if He could have done that or not. I'm just making this up. But I'm just simply saying He didn't do that. He put His Spirit inside of us. You know, God's a God of excellence. When He created the earth, He looked at it and He said, it's very good. It's not just okay. He said, it's very good. Now, the earth still is very good. But in that day before the fall, we have no idea what it looked like. I mean, this thing's been tainted with sin. It's been tainted by the curse. But before that all happened, my goodness, who knows what it looked like? Amen. So the Bible says that in Isaiah said God does excellent things. This is known throughout all of the earth. He's a God. Jesus has a more excellent ministry. So God's into excellence. Amen. He wants us to be people of excellence. Now, let's go to Malachi chapter 1. I want to show you something here in Malachi chapter 1. And we're just going to stir ourselves up tonight about this excellence, about we don't just do, you know, just do what little we can get by with. No, when it comes to God, it comes to living for Him, it comes for His kingdom and working in His kingdom, let's do it with excellence. Let's go all the way. Amen. Are you with me? Now, you know, sometimes people don't have much, but you can do what you can do. You can be excellent with what you have. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think about Solomon. The Bible says that when the Queen of Sheba came to see all that he had, you know, his table, his servants, all his house, all that he had, the Bible said there was no more spirit left in her. She said, I'd heard it. She said, but the half hadn't even told me. Yeah, amen. Now, you may not have what Solomon had. Are you with me now? But you can be excellent in whatever you're doing. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. And so God's looking for people that walk with excellence, that are worthy of the calling. Amen. Not just see how little they can get by and still make it. You know, Peter talked about an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Not just barely get there. You know, some people, the Bible said, will be saved as by fire. You know, I mean, they're just barely going to make it. Well, that's not what God wants for us. He wants an abundance. Amen? An abundant entrance. He wants us to live with Him for excellence. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me now? You know, if you're a preacher, you know, that means that you're excellent about your ministry. You're not just sloppy with it. You're not just, you know, there are some preachers, you know, that just, you know, right before service they go and they grab some kind of last year's notes or something. Well, this will work. I'll preach this tonight. You know what I'm saying? They'll do that, you know. And there are some preachers that they get their sermons at the beginning of the year for the whole year. They get the whole year sermons. They get them from headquarters. That's the way they get their sermons. So they've got sermons for Mother's Day, everything else, and all of that. But you know, here's what I think. I think God wants us to be more excellent than that. Are you with me now? You know, I've been in churches, you know, that have excellence. I've been in churches where, you know, they got under my skin. And I'm trying to walk in love. But they got under my skin. You know what I mean? It's just like everything was sloppy. You know, it's like they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you see, the service doesn't start on time. The praise team isn't ready. Well, we're still trying to get our songs ready. Didn't you know we was having church tonight? See, that don't fly with me. We're going to be ready. Now, if God wants to change our ready, that's fine. Are you with me now? But we're going to pray the best that we know how, and we're going to be ready. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. God may change what we thought He was saying. He may change it. You know, He may rearrange it. I've had Him do that with my preaching, you know, where I thought I knew what I was going to preach on, and then He kind of stepped in and said, well, you know, let's do this. I've gotten messages ready before, and then right a little bit before the service, he like, you know, I don't think I want you to preach that tonight. I'm thinking, why? Wish you'd told me that a long time ago, you know. But, you know, he's God, right? And he's got reasons for that, and he's got purposes for that. Amen. I've got some messages I haven't preached that I thought I was going to preach, and I've been hanging on them now for quite some time. Maybe someday he'll let me preach them. Amen. But God wants us to be excellent. Amen. Look at Malachi chapter 1. Go there. Verse 6. It says in verse 6, it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? Well, I mean, God's our father. Our father, isn't he? He says, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. Unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. You also said, behold, what a weariness it is. You have snuffed or sneered at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you have brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful or fearful among the heathen. See, even in those days, the heathen of the land, they'd heard what God had done for Israel. They feared him. They may not have served him, but they were afraid of him. And God's saying, look, the problem I have with you is your sacrifices are inferior. God wants our best. And you know, our sacrifices today aren't animals, they're our lives. And God wants our best. Amen? You know, I'm not against any of the things that we do in life, but sometimes we give our best to other things and we don't give our best to God. Amen? You know, we work for Pharaoh all day long and then don't give God anything. Some people are too busy working for Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh, who's Pharaoh? The world. Come on. And then, well, I'm just too tired to go to church. Well, see, I understand there might be times that might happen. I understand that could happen sometime. Maybe there might be incidents. But all the time? We had a lady, bless her heart, that came here years ago, and she wanted to be on the praise team. She actually wanted to run it, to be honest with you. That's what she really was after. And so, but she said, I can't be here on Wednesday night. I said, you can't be here on Wednesday night? She said, no. I said, well, why not? She said, I'm too tired. I said, so is everybody else up there. They worked all day too. I said, you don't come on. Now, you know, if she had a job, you know, there are things, you know, right? But her excuse was, I'm too tired. Well, I said, everybody else is tired. See, it wasn't a matter, I can't be there because second shift. Are you with me now? She said, I'm tired. Well, I thought, okay, you want me to tell everybody up there? Now, she's too tired to come, but y'all got to be here. I just told her, I said, no, that won't fly. She got mad and left the church. She went to Pastor Carter's church. Pastor Carter called me. He said, this lady from your church came to my church. He said, I told her, I said, you get back over there to Pastor Pearl's church. I said to Pastor Carter, I wish you hadn't done that. She didn't come back here. She didn't stay there either because he wasn't going to put up with it either, you know. Why? Because we, you know, listen, I think as pastors we should demand a certain level of excellence out of those that are going to work for God. Amen? It's a privilege to get to work for God. And we appreciate, don't misunderstand, we appreciate everybody who works in this church. Couldn't do that. We love you. We appreciate it. But it's a privilege for me to be here. Right? You don't think that I ever have times that I want to grumble and complain about things? Of course I do. We all do. But we got to get back to reality. It's just a privilege to be able to be here. It's just a privilege to be able to preach. Amen. Or work for God or do anything for God. It's just a privilege. Well, people just don't notice me. Well, that's not what it's about. Now, we're appreciative, but, you know, I don't always get all those pats on the back. Sometimes I get things that, not from you guys. You guys are all sweet and nice. But, you know, there are people out there that aren't sweet and nice. It's all right. It's okay. I'm not working for people. And we're working for God. Hallelujah. And he said, you say that the table of the Lord is contemptible. You know what that means? That word contemptible, one of the meanings of it is you lightly esteem it. You lightly esteem it. I mean, anything's got anything to do with God, we should never lightly esteem it. We should highly esteem it. Amen? You know, I heard a survey, I don't know if it was Dr. Dobson or who it was one time, he had an associate one time, H.B. London, you remember him, and he might have said it. I can't remember. We met and talked and spent some time together, his associate, H.B. London. Anyway, but we're saying that the survey says that the average pastor or minister prays 15 minutes a week, not a day. A week. I say, Houston, we have a problem here. These men aren't taking their ministry, and women, they're not taking their ministry seriously. Right? I mean, they're not taking it seriously. Somebody's got to wake them up and say, this deserves excellence. Amen. We're not going to have canned sermons, right? We're going to see God. We're going to have excellence in our ministry, right? We're not going to have canned praise and worship. We're not going to have canned anything around here. We're going to seek God and have excellence. Amen. You know, no matter what you do in the church, do it with all your might. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. What's that mean with excellence? Whatever, the Bible also said there in Colossians, whatever you do, do it with all your might, knowing that you'll receive the reward from the Lord. Right? I think we should appreciate people and thank people, and I'm very thankful. But the reward really comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. I mean, it's good to tell people, right? It's good to do that. We should encourage one another and say, you know, you're doing a great job. I love your smiling face at the door. Thanks for working in the nursery. Amen. Shelby said that helped her when she gets married. That'll be her birth control. Amen. She now realizes how many kids she wants. I thought that was funny. She didn't exactly say what number that was. It might have been zero. I don't know. Her dad said 10. Hallelujah. But, you know, we appreciate people doing that. But, you know, their true reward comes from the Lord. I mean, that's not an easy job. We appreciate Miss Joanne being over that. Being over anything's not easy. It's not easy. But, you know, and we appreciate her. And we appreciate all the things that she does. But, you know, her reward comes not from us, but from the Lord. Because she's doing it as unto the Lord. If you were doing it to people, you'd have quit a long time ago. She'd have quit a long time ago. Right? If I was doing my job for people, I'd quit a long time ago. Not because that you're bad or anything like that. There's easier things to do. But God wants us to walk worthy of the calling with which He's called us with. Treat it, amen, weighty. Hallelujah. Amen. I forget who it was now. Oh, it was Brother Osteen, John Osteen. He said one time his dad came home And he called all the family. I got to talk to you. I got to tell you something. He was so excited, you know. They thought, what is going on? He said, you will not believe this. He said, but they're going to let me count the money at church. I mean, he was so honored by that. He was so excited by that, that they would trust me with the money. Amen. Well, somebody has to be trusted with the money. And you don't want somebody you can't trust with the money. You don't want Judas in there, right? So you got to do it with honor, with integrity. You know what integrity is? I do it right because it's right. I do it whether anybody knows it or right because whether anybody knows it or not. Are you with me now? You know, maybe I could cut back, but I don't do that because I have integrity. Brother Oral Roberts said one time, whatever you compromise to get, you'll ultimately lose it. Yeah. If you compromise to get something, you will lose it. See, there has to be an excellence about us where we recognize the weight of what we have here, that we're part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, listen, I love, like I said, what Billy Graham said. He didn't want to take a step down. He considered what he was doing higher than the president. You know what? I do too. Oh, yeah. I do too. Thank God for the president. It's an office that we should honor. There ought to be honor and integrity in the office of the president. There should be. But I tell you, the calling of God's higher than that. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, God's just simply saying here in Malachi, bring me your best. Bring me your best. Bring me your best. Don't bring me, you know, like this happened one time. I don't know if Phyllis will remember this, but we were having at the Revival Center, we were having some kind of drive for the missionary. We had a missionary that was a missionary to Mexico in the church, and we were having a clothing drive for it. And one of the preachers there at church, his name was Keith. And Keith got in his closet, and he went back and got some cowboy boots that were older and a little worn out. And he said, when I reached up there to get them off the shelf, he said, I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, Keith, if you sow junk, you're going to reap junk. He said, I put them back and I got the good ones. Amen. See, that's integrity. That's excellence, right? None of this, it's good enough for church. See, that's what God's saying here. I can't use this. Maybe the church can. I mean, I think if you get somebody to work on it, it'll work. You would not believe it, but people do that. They do. It's like, I don't need anyone. See, that's not a sacrifice. I said, that's not a sacrifice. That's just because you don't want to call for heavy trash pickup. That's all that is. You want the church to get rid of it. Amen. Come on now. See, if it's God's house, now that, you know, why don't you bring your best? I remember many years ago. When I say many years ago, probably 15 anyway. The Lord, it wasn't like, the Lord didn't talk to me audibly, but I just heard this. I want you to give a suit away. I want you to give a suit away. And so I thought, so I went in my closet, you know, and you know how you are. If you're not watchful, you look for the one that doesn't fit right any longer, or maybe Herb Tarlick would have wore it. For those of you that are old enough to know who Herb Tarlick was. Anybody remember Herb Tarlick? Yeah, yeah. He was on TV. He'd wear like a plaid jacket and striped dress pants. He just looked really weird. But, or that, you know, they, you go back in the 70s when polyester was in. And so not the polyester, but I went back and I was getting ready to look at this one suit to give it away. I thought, well, you know, I'm going to give that one away. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to give that away. I want you to give this away. I said, that's my favorite suit. That's my best suit. He said, and give the tie that goes with it. When I'd bought it, I'd bought a tie to go with it. I loved that tie. I did. That was my favorite suit, favorite tie. Love in the sense, there's different meanings of love, not agape love. That just means I liked it really well. All right. And so the Lord said, give that away. I gave it to somebody, and I'd have to see them wear it every now and then. And you know, the old flesh would rise up and say, there's your suit and tie. But you know, that's not true. That's God's. He said, give it away. See, excellence does, you know what I'm saying? Now, I've had people give me stuff that really wasn't all that great. But you know what I knew? It was the best they had. I said it was the best they had. So it was excellent. Amen. You know, that little widow woman who gave her last two mites wasn't much. Wasn't going to keep the church open at all. But Jesus said she outgave everybody. Why? Because it was the best she had. She gave everything she had. That's a good thing about God. You don't have to be rich to impress Him. Matter of fact, I don't care how rich you are, you're not going to impress Him. Because you're not as rich as Him. Put us all together, we're not as rich as Him. You know some of the richest people in the world, like Bill Gates and, you know, the guy over at Amazon and Warren Buffett, put them all together. And they couldn't even buy the pearly gates. Come on. So what God's impressed with was it excellent? Did you do your best? And that's what He's saying. You're bringing me this junk that you don't want. He said, go take that, give it to your governor, and see if he's going to be pleased with it. Amen? So when we become children of God, we got to follow after excellence. Amen? Go to Timothy, 1 Timothy. Come on, are you getting something tonight? Go to 1 Timothy. We're about to wind down here in just a little bit. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to show you something. Paul said something to Timothy that we do good to take heed to today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me to, let's go to verse 12. Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, let no man despise your youth. Well, I don't have to be concerned about that any longer. But be an example of the believers. Amen. Or be out in front. Everybody say, be out in front. Yeah. See, what's an example? Out in front. Now, he lists six areas we're to be out in front in. Notice this. He said, be an example to the believers in word. In word. In other words, our speech. Our speech ought to be speech of excellence. Amen? All right, the next thing. Be in the King James says conversation, but that's an old English word that means your conduct. So be an example in your conduct or in your behavior. Number three, be an example in charity or love. Number four, be an example in spirit. Now, what does this mean? In enthusiasm, in having life about you. Amen? Be an example in enthusiasm about God. Amen. Number five, in faith. We ought to be an example in faith. Number six, in purity. So these are areas we're to be examples in. These are six areas. We're to strive to be out in front in these areas. Amen. In our words, our speech, in our actions, in love, in our enthusiasm, in spirit, he said, in faith, and in purity or holiness. Strive to be out front in all these areas. Man, when you do that, you're going to be walking with the spirit of excellence on you, and you're going to have the blessing on you. See, God's the rewarder. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter whether anybody notices or they'll notice, but you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter because they're not going to reward you anyway. You know, I remember people years ago, they'd go on these, at least they said they were going on these long fasts, 21 days. And we had them in our church. Going on a 21-day fast. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. God called you to go on a 21-day fast. But don't come in looking like you got ran over. I mean, they made sure you knew about it. They had long faces and Come on. And then telling everybody I'm on a 21-day fast. What did Jesus say? Is that what he said to do? He said, wash your face, anoint yourself with oil, and don't appear to fast.
That's what it says.
Isn't that what it says? Now, what did he mean? Well, he's not saying, he doesn't say that nobody can know that you're fasting. If your spouse doesn't know you're fasting and they fix dinner, you're in trouble. But he's saying, don't let that be the reason. And all these people, some of them would just let everybody know in church, I'm on a 21-day fast. You know, and you can tell they're on something. Something's not right. Well, here's the thing. All right, here's the thing. God bless them, for trying. But here's the thing. Listen. People's not going to reward you for that. Except maybe pat you on the back. Man, I'm proud of you. Good job. Now, what is 21 times 3? 63? I'm not missing 63 meals for anybody to pat me on the back. You understand? I want God to pat me on the back. If I'm going to miss 63 meals, Deanne, I'm going to get something out of it from God, not from people. It just isn't worth it. I appreciate your praise, but it ain't worth 23 meals. Amen. See what I'm saying? See, God's the one that's going to reward you. Amen. And He keeps track. Amen. He keeps track of it. Amen. Now, 2 Timothy, we're getting ready to close here, but let's go here, and I want to look at one more scripture, I think. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, but in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, chapter 2, verse 20, in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, or literally from the dishonorable things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So, in a great house, he said there's vessels of honor, there's vessels of dishonor. See, what are the vessels of honor? They're the vessels that have chosen to run this race with excellence. Amen. Amen. See, Paul talked about it to the church at Corinth. He said, run that you may obtain. Run to win. Run with excellence. Every man that strives for the prize, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said he's temperate in all things. He restricts himself. In other words, if an athlete is going to be excellent, he has to restrict himself or her. They have to restrict himself. Are you with me now? Now, I'm going to mention a name of an athlete with the risk of losing everybody here. My wife won't go because she... Yeah, you didn't like the team he was from either. You called them names. You called them names. Cheaters. You called them cheaters. They were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars one time, and Phyllis said, the cheaters are playing the Jaguars. Did I say that? I think you said it. Anyway, Tom Brady. No booze? Jill, feel free to boo. Just feel free to boo the pastor. She's just seeing where I'm going. Here's where I'm going with this, okay? That's not a popular name in Indiana because of the rivalry between, his former team, the Patriots and the Colts. Rivalry there. But you got to give the guy his due. He's very disciplined.
Yes, he is.
And he's very good. And he has 7 Super Bowls.
Yep. One of the best.
Like him or not, you got to deal with him. Now, why is that? Well, because he restricts himself. How is he playing at the level he's playing at the age he's at? I'll tell you why. Because he restricts himself.
Yep.
He restricts himself. Amen. I heard his coach one time, Bill Belichick, someone asked him about his diet. He said, it's not for everybody. I'm thinking, most people are not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? See, and if you're going to be good in the kingdom of God, you got to restrict yourself. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 9. You can look at it later. He said, you're going to have to restrict yourself. He said, I'm not one that's fighting in the air. I'm not one that's just, you know, shadow boxing. He said, I know what I'm aiming at. I keep my body under. I keep it under, lest I get disqualified. See, if you're going to be, listen, there are athletes and then there are athletes. There are people that are good, but then there are people that are excellent. Amen. Yeah. See, anytime you go to a race, like, you know, I've run some races. You go to a race, you see the guys in the very back, lining up in the very back with the donuts and coffee. You know they're not a threat. Amen. There's some middle-aged guy that decided, you know, I think I'm going to try this, honey. Fix me a thermos. I'm going to go by, you know, what's that donut place down there? You know, oh, that one down there. Oh, yeah. Oh, Krispy Kreme. I'm going to go by and get some donuts. I'm going to try this. You know, they're probably not even going to make it. But you see the guys up front. Amen. And they're lean looking. They're fit. You can just spot them. You can just tell them, look at them. They're going to be up front. They're going to be up front. Amen. You know, and they tell you in a race, if you're lined up in a race, they said, now they call them corrals, like cattle. You pick the corral where you think you're going to finish. They don't want any slow pokes up front in the way. You get back here. Amen. So, you know, I'm kind of a mediocre, halfway up the mountain. I'd come a little bit up from the mid-pack, you know, but not up front because I knew I wasn't going to be there and I knew I wasn't going to win. See, but what's the difference? Well, see, a lot of it is just the excellence that they have in their life. Amen. Dedicated, right? See, how dedicated are we to the kingdom? Amen. Are we willing to restrict ourselves? Right? Amen. You don't think God's watching? He's watching us. You know, He knows whether you're really serious or not. How many know that? Yeah. He knows. I said He knows. He's the rewarder, not me. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, let's close out. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Amen. 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 The Lord is the rewarder. Thank God He is. Amen. He's just. And He knows. He knows whether we're giving it our all. He knows whether we have excellence about us. Amen. We need excellence in our lives. Hallelujah. Daniel 6, verse 3 says, then this Daniel was preferred above the princes and presidents because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now Daniel was a man who was living in a foreign land. He's with the heathen. This isn't home. This isn't Israel. This isn't his home place. He's in a foreign land. But he chose, before these heathen people, he chose to live with excellence. And he got rewarded. He got noticed. Are you with me now? See, if we're Christians and we're out there in that world, what we're doing out there, we should do it with excellence. Did you know the Bible says when we work, we're to work unto the Lord and not to man? That's what it says. And of the Lord, you'll receive a reward. You say, well, Pastor, I tell you, I don't like my job. Well, that may be. But here's the thing. If you want to get promoted, promotion comes from God. And if the Bible says, do it as unto Him, that's the quickest way to get promoted. Amen. You know, when we're doing it unto Him and He sees your zeal, He sees your fervency, He sees your integrity, and He's the one that promotes. Hallelujah. You know, Joseph didn't have an easy time of it, did he? He went from the pit He went to the prison. But did you know from the pit to the prison, he was a man of excellence. You don't see him murmuring, complaining. Why me? Why did this happen to me? Right? He did tell me. He said, I'm here for no fault of mine. You know, tell the king when you get out about me. But he never complained. Everywhere he went, he got promoted, didn't he? He's in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh made him, or not Pharaoh, but he's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar made him head over everything he had, didn't he? Right? All right. So he went from the pit to Potiphar's house and in charge of everything. He went from Potiphar's house to the prison. And in the prison, he was in charge of everything. He went from the prison to the palace. And in the palace, he was in charge of everything. Now, why did that happen? Because he was a man of excellence. Whatever he did it right. Amen.
Amen.
See, that's one thing that will get you rewarded. And that'll get you rewarded in the kingdom, man, when you're a person of excellence. When you just have, it's right. Because, you know, it's right whether people are watching or not. Amen. You know, even though you might get away with it, it didn't miss God's sight. He sees it. And he's the one that rewards. So a lot of times people think, well, you know, nobody will know. No, God does. He knows. I said he knows. And if he knows, he's the one that does the rewarding.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. You know, I could cheat a little bit on my taxes since nobody know. Amen. But you know what? You do that. God knows. Well, I don't think it's right. Well, I didn't say it was all right, but I just said it is what it is. The Bible says obey the laws of the land as long as they don't cross God's laws. You know, 55, 65, what is the speed limit? 70. Who pays attention to the signs anyway? You know what I'm saying? You know, that does not cross God's law, does it? Amen. You say, man, my chariot just flies too fast for 70, brother. Amen. We'll put some square wheels on it. No, how many of there are certain laws that we have in our country? They don't cross the laws of God, right? So we're told to obey those, right? I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I know I'm not perfect at the speed limit. Amen. Don't look at me like that. You ever seen? Now, I can do pretty good out on the interstate. You know, I can do pretty good out there because you can go fast. But I'm just telling you, you know, some of these streets in town where it says 25, it ain't happening. God forgive me. But my vehicle, I don't know if it'll go that slow. I don't know. I'd have to have one of them Fred Flintstone cars where you put your feet down, you know. All right, that's over some of y'all's head. You're a little old, remember that show. But see, what I'm saying is this. See, we can think, well, you know, I can get away with it. No, it isn't about getting away with anything. You can't get away with anything because it's God that rewards you. It's God that's checking out your excellence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, Phyllis helped me with some of this when we first got saved. We first got married. You know, I'm just telling you the truth. Maybe I shouldn't say this. We're on. Well, anyway. Yeah, we're past the time limits now. But, you know, I would travel. You know, I got pay from the church. And, of course, you know, they government doesn't trust you like God. They take taxes out before you ever get it. God doesn't take tithe out before he lets you do that. But they take taxes out. But I would go preach a lot of different places and get money. Well, you're supposed to pay taxes on that. That's considered income. But you know, when I was young, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, I just didn't think right. I thought, well, what? It's none of their business. Amen. I'm not telling you it was right. I'm just telling you the way I thought. I was like, that's none of their business. That's my money. You know, that's none of their business. I didn't pay taxes on any of it. Some of you are looking like, amen. I just thought, hey, it's my money. It's no big deal. But when we got married and she's with me now and I'm making that income, she says, you're supposed to pay taxes on all that. And I think I tried to tell her how this worked. No, that ain't the way it works, lady. But thank God, see, it is the law of the land. You may not like it, but excellence. Amen. That went over big. I should have stopped before I said all that. But you know what I'm saying, see, you know what I'm saying. How many get what I'm saying? You can be legalistic too, but still at the same time, you know what I'm saying. We shouldn't just be people that are trying to skirt the law and be, amen. God's watching. Amen. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.